I'm going to preach a different sermon than I started the week off planning to preach this old-fashioned day, and I usually bring a message, an old-fashioned message. I talk about old-fashioned sinners and an old-fashioned guilt and condemnation, and then I talk about an old-fashioned Savior who saves us from that sin. But as the week unfolded, and I went and visited with Ruth and Dan. Ruth's brother went to heaven this week, and then Ella Mae and Ed went down to Tennessee for the funeral of Ella Mae's sister, and then Thea going to heaven. And I didn't mention it, but in the bulletin is her arrangements. Viewing's going to be Tuesday up at O'Gwen and Clio from 4 to 8, and then they'll be viewing here at the church from 10 to 11 on Wednesday, and her funeral will be here Wednesday morning. And then on Thursday night, I had a couple of our folks that were here for Senior Saints told me that they had been to a funeral either the day before or that day. And the Lord just sort of directed my heart back to this verse in Psalm 116, verse 15, that we read a moment ago. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, as you read that verse, from a human standpoint, you might say, well, you know, that's a strange verse. It's a backward kind of verse. The way we think about it, it ought to be just the opposite. It ought to be that, and again, from our perspective, that God gets more delight out of the death of the wicked, those that have ignored him, ignored the gospel, ignored the cross of Jesus Christ. And if we were God and we were writing the Bible, that's probably how we would write it. We'd write it different. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the wicked, of the God rejectors, of the evil. But that's why the Bible says that God's ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, the Bible says this, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." God has no pleasure when the wicked die. Because you see, when the wicked die, they go to hell. Jesus told us a parable about that in Luke chapter 16, about the beggar, Lazarus, and the rich man. They both died. Lazarus went to heaven, to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man went to hell. And hell's a real place. Hell's a place of fire. And the rich man went to hell, and he looked up and across that great chasm and saw the beggar who had laid at his gate, who he'd passed by many times. He saw the beggar, Lazarus, and he says, "Abraham, would you have Lazarus just dip the tip of his finger in water and come and touch my tongue, because I'm tormented in this great flame." And so God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, because when the wicked die, they go to hell. And I'll remind you this morning that God's not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell, but that all should come to repentance. What that verse means is that God wants everybody to be saved. God wants everybody to go to heaven. That's why he made salvation so simple. That's why he made salvation so free. We're all sinners. There's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. And there's nothing that we could do to pay for our sins except die and go to hell and be separated from God. That's what we deserve as sinners. But God loved us. He loved us when we were sinners. Bible says, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He didn't wait till we turned over a new leaf. He didn't wait until we got better. While we were sinners, the Son of God died in our place. And that's why God made salvation so simple. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. God wants everybody to go to heaven. That's why he uses the word "whosoever" over and over in the gospel. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In the book of Romans, it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, "shall be saved." That's why God put that word in the gospel. Look, if you go to hell, it's because you want to. It's none of God's doing. If you go to hell, you walk across all the obstacles that God has put in your way to keep you out of hell. You'll step over the cross. You'll step over the blood of Christ. You'll step over the gospel. You'll step over the Bible. You'll step over church. You'll step over every grandpa and grandma and mom and dad and Sunday school teacher and preacher that has ever told you about Jesus. If you go to hell, you'll step over every one of those things. And if you go to hell, it's because you want to, not because God wants you to. He wants everybody to go to heaven. That's why he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Because those folks have foiled the plan of God for their life. The plan of God for every person's life is that they get saved and spend eternity in heaven. And when the wicked die, when those that have rejected Christ die, they have messed up God's plan for them. So we come back to our text verse, Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. This morning, I want to just mention four reasons why it is. Why the death of saints, why God takes pleasure in that. And again, from our standpoint, we might say, well, why would God take pleasure in the death of his saints? Seems like he'd take pleasure in the death of the wicked, but no, he doesn't. That verse in Ezekiel said, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But here's why it's precious in the sight of God. Like when Ruth's brother went to heaven, when Ella Mae's sister went to heaven, when Thea went to heaven, here's why it's precious in God's sight. Number one, death is the last valley that God has to see his children go through. In Psalm 23, the Bible talks about the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, I want to remind you this morning, and I know this is a simple message, but I want to remind you this morning, God loves you, and God loves me. He cares about us. He knows what's going on in our life. When we hurt, God hurts. When we ache, God aches. When we cry, he cries. You see, we're his children, and he doesn't like to see his children hurt. Now, every parent here knows exactly what I'm talking about. Every parent here will go to great lengths to spare their child pain. I mean, just stop and think about it. Look at your own life. I've gone to hospitals with dads and moms, and I've stood beside the bed of six children. I've heard dad and mom say, "Oh, I wish I could be there. I wish I could be there instead of my child." When Anastasia was going through the surgery, and we didn't know how God was going to work, Dora told me, talking about her granddaughter. She says, "I wish I had that cancer in the eye instead of her. I wish I could take it out of her eyes and put it in my eyes. I wish I could bear the pain. I wish I'm the one that had to go through the chemotherapy. I wish I could bear the pain instead of my granddaughter." We'd rather cry ourselves than see our children cry. We'd rather hurt ourselves than see our children hurt. We'd rather be sick ourselves than see our children be sick. I want to tell you something. God's the same way. He knows what we're going through. There's not a thing that you experience in your life, not a thing that God doesn't know about. And when you hurt, he hurts. When you weep, he weeps. When you ache, he aches. He knows, God knows, that our life is full of trouble. In Job chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." And the Bible teaches us our life is short, but it's packed with trouble. You live only a little while, and yet that little while is filled with sorrow. And our Heavenly Father says, "I'll be glad when all this is over for my children. I'll be glad when my children don't hurt anymore. I'll be glad when my children are out of all this trouble. That's why Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Now listen to that. Wisest man that ever lived, Solomon, he wrote, the day of death is better than the day of one's birth. Last week, we dedicated Rich and Kristen, and you remember they brought Veda up here and the boys, and we prayed for them. And I was thinking about it. She's got her whole life ahead of her, all of it. And yet, we know that unless the Lord carries, that life is going to include troubles. It's going to include some tears. I mean, you too, I know, you'll try to keep all of that away from her. You'd rather suffer it yourselves than have her go through it. But her life is going to have troubles. It's going to have tears. It's going to have pain. Just starting out. Last time I visited Thea at the rest home, she said, Pastor, I'm so tired. I just want to go home. I just want to go to heaven. I'm tired of hurting. I'm tired of worrying about what's going to happen to us. I just want to go home. And I told Thea, like I tell most people that talk to me like that, well, Thea, when God gets ready for you, when he gets your mansion all ready and you've done everything he wants you to do down here, he'll take you home. I knew at that point that Thea's life was about to end. I knew that she didn't have many more days of trouble. She didn't have many more days of sorrow. She didn't have many more days of aching and hurting and crying. That's why Solomon says the day of one's death for a child of God is better than the day of one birth. Because he says, I get to get my children out of this world. I get to get my children out of their trouble. I get to get my children out of their sorrow. I get to get my children out of all the aches and pains that they have to endure down here. They won't hurt anymore when they get to heaven. They won't cry anymore when they get to heaven. There'll be no sorrows in heaven. There'll be no troubles in heaven. There'll be no heartaches in heaven. As Kelly sang a moment ago, there'll be no more parting in heaven. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. And God says, I can't wait till I get my kids there. I can't wait till I get them out of this world of trouble. And precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, because he knows they're about to enter that place called heaven. Called heaven. There's a second reason why the death of his saints is precious in the eyes of the Lord. For the first time, God will have our complete attention. He'll have our complete attention. God made us for himself. He tells us to look unto him. He tells us to call unto him. He says to praise him. He says to love him, the Lord thy God, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. But you know what? As long as we're in this world, we're distracted. As long as we're in this world, God has a hard time getting our full attention. Hey, did you ever try to talk to somebody and you knew you didn't have their full attention? Now, some of you guys need to quit looking at your wives. And some of you wives need to quit looking at your husband. But did you ever talk to somebody and you were just, you know, you were trying to communicate with them, you were trying to share information, you know, you might have been pouring out your heart, and they were over there maybe behind the newspaper going, You know, after you've been married for a while, you can understand that. What it means is they're not listening. And you know that they're not listening. I think that's how God feels sometimes. He tries to get our attention, and we're so distracted by the things of the world. He tries to get our attention because he has something good that he wants to tell us, and we're so busy, tied up in the things of the world, he can't get our full attention. Sometimes he goes to great lengths to get our full attention. Sometimes he knocks us up beside the head. Sometimes he knocks our legs out from underneath us. Sometimes he lets things happen in our life. And sometimes we get mad at God for the things that he allows in our life. But look, this is our loving Father, and he's trying to get our attention. He's trying to draw us to the things of God. He's trying to get us ready for eternity. And when we die and we go to heaven, he'll have our full attention. No more lust of the flesh, no more lust of the eyes, no more pride of life. We'll join those around the throne with our eyes wide open and our attention fully given to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, the Bible says, "For now we see through glass darkly, but then face to face." You know, the Bible tells us a lot about heaven. Actually, the Bible talks more about hell than it does about heaven, but it tells us a lot about heaven. And yet that verse in the Bible is true: "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God has prepared for them that love him." We think we know all about heaven, but we hardly know anything. I mean, and I know we talk about the gates of pearl and the street of gold. We talk about no more darkness, no more pain, no more sorrow. We talk about no more parting. But here's the thing about heaven that we can't fully understand until we get there. In heaven, we're going to come into the very presence of God. The very presence of God. Now, I've tried to imagine that. I've tried to picture in my mind, with my imagination, what it would be to come into the presence of God. I tried to put myself in Moses' shoes where God told him to take your shoes off. But I've tried to put myself in Moses' place when he stood before the burning bush and he met the I Am. I tried to put myself in Isaiah's place when he saw the heavens open and he saw the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I tried to put myself in John's place when he stood on the Isle of Patmos and God opened up the future and let him see into heaven. But I'll be honest with you, I don't think I've even come close. I don't know how to describe for you, because I can't describe it to myself, what it will mean to come into the very presence of God. And precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints, because when we come into his presence, he'll have our full attention. Then number three, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints, because he'll get to show us everything he's prepared for us. I read that verse again from 1 Corinthians 2:9. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Do you know that God is anxious to show us heaven? I've often imagined what it was like in the Garden of Eden when God put Adam and Eve there and said, "Hey, everything here is yours. I've made everything here. Every plant, every tree, every animal, every flower, everything that's here, I made for you. Now, there's only one thing I want you to stay away from. I don't want you to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's mine. You leave that alone. But everything else is yours." I've often wondered, you know, the Bible talks about God walking in the cool of the day to fellowship with Adam and Eve. I've often wondered how many times did God take them by the hand and say, "Hey, let me show you something you haven't seen before." And he took them to a spot in the garden to show them a flower that they'd never noticed before. He took them to a spot in the garden to show them an animal that they hadn't discovered yet. He took them to a spot in the garden where they could lie in the grass and watch the sun go down in a way that they'd never seen it before. I think God's going to do the same thing to us when we get to heaven. I think that verse says, it hasn't entered into the mind of man. We can't imagine what heaven's going to be like. And again, I've often wondered when we get there if God's going to take us by the hand and say, hey, come with me, I want to show you something you've never seen before. Let me take you over here and introduce you to Isaiah. Or let me take you over here and introduce you to Moses. Let me take you over here and show you something that I've been working on before the foundation of the world to put in this place because I love you. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints because he'll finally get to show us a complete expression of his love. Heaven. 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 And then number four, quickly, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints, because the death of one of his saints causes others to think about their eternity. It causes others to think about where they're going to go when they die. It's a wonderful thing to know that Ruth's brother is in heaven. It's a wonderful thing to know that Ella Mae's sister's in heaven. It's a wonderful thing to know that Thea is in heaven this morning. But it ought to get those of us that are left to examine our own hearts and ask the question, am I ready to die? Am I ready? David talks about life. It's a vapor. It's here one day and gone the next. And none of us have any surety about how our life, how long our life is going to last. I mean, you know, you may live to be 120 years old, or you may die tomorrow. Only the Lord knows. And when we lose a loved one, we lose somebody to heaven, it ought to cause us to think, am I ready? Now again, the Bible says there's only one way to get ready, and that's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all sinners. There's a penalty for that sin. We either pay the penalty ourselves or somebody has to pay it for us. God set it up that Jesus paid it for us. He went to the cross. God laid on him every one of our sins. He had no sins of his own. He was perfect. Tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And yet he went to the cross and God took all of my sin. He took all of your sin. And he put them on his son. And on Calvary, the holy, perfect, sinless Son of God paid for my sin. And paid for your sin. Adam sang about it. What? What a Savior. What a Savior. So let me ask you this morning, what have you done with him? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I know some of you are good folks and your life is full of good deeds, but your good life and your good deeds won't get you to heaven. This church won't get you to heaven. That baptistry won't get you to heaven. The only thing that will get you to heaven is for you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him and what he did on Calvary to pay the price of your sin. That's the only thing that will get you into heaven. And so as I close this morning, I ask the question, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to take your last breath on this earth? Are you ready to step out into eternity? And when you step out into eternity, where are you going? My prayer is every person here knows that they're on their way to heaven. But if you're here and you're not, if you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven, then I encourage you this morning, I beg you this morning, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on him. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So I believe with everything that I am that I'm a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin and that Jesus paid that penalty. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I call on Christ. I ask him to be my Savior. If you've not done that, I encourage you to do it right now, right where you sat. Call on Jesus and get ready. Get ready. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminders that you gave us this week about how short life is. For the reminders you gave us this week that one day we too will face eternity. And Father, thank you for giving us the Bible that tells us that it's not how we act or how we live our life or the good deeds that we've done or the fact that we come to church or the fact that we've been baptized. None of those things make any difference about where we're going to spend eternity. The only thing that makes a difference is what we've done with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray for those that are here this morning that's never received him, never confessed their sin, never told Christ they were depending on what he did on Calvary to make them right with God. I pray in the quietness of this moment, Holy Spirit, you would help them do that. You would help them see their sin, confess that sin, and trust Christ as the payment for that sin. And then, Father, if they've done that in just a second, they'd walk the aisle confessing what they've done with Christ to everybody that's here. I pray for the Christians that are here. I pray, Father, that you would draw us closer to you because we've been reminded this morning what you did to purchase our salvation. And if there's Christians that are here, Holy Spirit, that you're speaking to about making a decision, I pray that we'd be obedient and we'd make that decision. So just bless this time of invitation. Help those that need to come. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.